Welcome to the Nations Church podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
Good morning. A bad looking bunch. Now, sometimes you actually say something, you go, oh, gee, I sound a lot like my dad. Yeah, and anyone ever do that? And you go, and then Pastor Stephen goes, you did, didn't you? Yeah. It'd be an honor to be in your presence, Pastor Stephen and Jackie, to preach. This man was there when I got my credential, and when I got interviewed by him, he said, we've been waiting so long. What took you so long? And so we honour you. Thank you. You're an awesome couple. It's been a tough year, but God has been good to you even in the middle of that. And you know what? He's going to continue to be good. His grace never ends, and eternity is waiting, and we're looking forward to a lot of reunions. I am too. And so we thank you for your faithfulness, your service, your power, your goodness, and your love you. Yeah. Tracy's going to be so mad that she wasn't here to see you, Jackie. So, oh, sorry, you, the rest of you are here? Okay, you may be seated. You get nostalgic. Can I just, you know, when I go, I love to prophesy at people, but I actually try to avoid the stage because they seem to get a lot of it. And but they're going to say no one ever does it for them. But I just wanted to say this young lady on the keyboards, and just want to tell you that there's more in you than you realise. And it might sound like a really typical phrase to say over someone, but what I specifically felt in you was that you can explore free worship like no one can. And it's built inside of you. Chord progressions, just let it rip. Get everybody to just sing their own song to Jesus. And I want to say... that's you inside. That's the way you're made. I reckon you do it at home. And just let it go, girl. Just let it go, if I may say that. I don't mean that. It was disrespectful. All right? That's the way you're made. It's the way you're made. And sorry for making you cry. Bless you. The rest of you guys is pretty cool. And God bless you. I've met your wife, and she's very cheeky on that front row. She needs to do a better job. She forgot to tell me when to go. I said, do I go now? And she goes, oh, yeah. And I said, all right, you got just docked your pay. I distracted you, yeah. Second service, you get very familiar and get distracted. Can I just speak to the man with the cap there and just say, I really felt God say he made you into a magnet, not a chick magnet, but an evangelistic magic. Instead of, you know, if you think you're about to go there, no, don't go there, all right? But he has made you into a magnet. And not just to, you know, to create friends, but God's actually called you to evangelize. He called you, he's put a word in your heart and a gift in your life, and he wants you to use that. As people come around you, you are to share the gospel. Listen to the Holy Ghost. He's going to give you words of knowledge. He's going to actually give you strategies to do that. I've brought with me, not my wife, but a young man that's, his name is John, powerful gift of evangelism, just developing. He's only been saved 2 years, wonderfully delivered and healed. And so I got him to come today, and so I reckon you guys ought to connect and talk about how to reach, but he won't shut up. We have a WhatsApp group. You know, all the larger churches got into WhatsApp, and everybody has a WhatsApp group, so we got into WhatsApp, and the evangelist one started. My goodness, they never shut up. My thing's bipping. I just went, these guys just talk about Jesus too much. No. They talk about their stories. I don't mean that funny. I mean that funny. They talk about Jesus and their stories, and they're really encouraging. Is that right, John? He's always got something on there. And so do that. Yeah, just get a group of you guys just talking about how it's spreading the gospel, how we spread the gospel. My brother-in-law's on there leading. He set it up and he said, oh, I went through, what was it, the store? Was it McDonald's the other day you went through?
Yeah,
okay, see, McDonald's. He went through McDonald's and we got a little track made up. And because he's over 60, he's 60 now, so he's old style tracks. And so he handed a track to the guy at the coffee in the McDonald's thing, and the guy said, oh, thank you, what's that? So that's all about your future. So oh, thank you for that, and gave him a free cup of coffee. And so I'm not going to promise you that, but that was a good thing to share. Everybody's now going through KFC. They're trying to get popcorn chicken buckets for free and all kinds of things. I'm trying that one. That's my weakness. And so, man, go for it. Please go for it. Go for it. Don't waste what you've got. We are privileged. In this state, we are privileged. I felt God speak to me Friday night, where, or Saturday, whatever day we were at Nations Conference, and I felt God say, we are so privileged that two things we need to do is that we need to be praying for those that haven't got the privilege of gathering, and we need to not, God's going to hold us responsible for what we do with the privilege of gathering. So not to, now you guys are being responsible because you're gathering. You're not neglecting gathering together to encourage one another, which becomes a habit, by the way. Have you noticed that? And becomes a habit. So that's why I don't get into the habit by saying no to not going. And so we will be responsible for our gathering and you, taking advantage of that while we can. My son's in Melbourne. He's in the Army. He's an MP in the Army. And he's hardly been in church for 18 months. And so he actually sent his, my grandchildren, two and a half and a six-month-old, and my daughter-in-law to Perth. I just got in on Monday. And I've got this awesome little bunch of munchkins. And she's going to church for the first time forever. You know, they have been a couple of times, but stop, start. We are privileged. Don't waste it. All right. Felt in God to say, you a couple? I actually went to someone else and got so wrong and so in the first service, but you go, a couple. Then we had another couple that sat apart. I went, get alive, guys. Come on. So hold her hand. All right. And I really sense in God that you have an authority that is not about name and position, though that can happen, but you have an authority that God has developed a strength inside of you. But I felt, and this, the word this morning is going to help you. I really felt in God that there has become a weariness upon your soul of having that authority. But you know what? God says, because you are weary and you might be tired and you might be weary, but he's saying the authority hasn't changed. No matter how you feel, you still have an authority. And I'm going to teach you some things today to use in that authority to break through into the next level. And I really felt weariness had crept upon you, but it doesn't mean the authority is gone. You may say, man, I don't know what's going on, but God said you still got it. All right? Keep walking and talking and speaking and preaching. And there's a promotion coming as part of you breaking through the weariness battle as God. And that's not weird. You understand what I mean in that. And so go for it, all right? And this young lady here, how are you? I'm very good, thank you. Come shake my hand. I've always wanted to do this. Okay. I just felt God say that he is just, have you been saved long? Yeah. And but he's put a burden and you're going to put to pray. And in fact, I think you've got the evangelist gift yet. Evangelize is going to be part of you, but he's put a real intercession burden on you, and he's going to. You need to come under. You look after prayer, do you? You let her train you. Train you partly. I'm not sure about some of the stuff she might teach you, but no. Learn all about. There's actually a session from yesterday's conference in the afternoon with Pastor Jemima that will really just practice. Were you there? Oh, were you? So there you, did you like it? That's it. You loved it. You got it right. Go for it, girl. Go for it. All right? Sorry, I don't mean that disrespectfully when I say girl, young lady, awesome woman of God. Well, okay, go for it, woman of God. You've got it. I really believe intercession, prayer. You're going to have some supernatural encounters. I think you've already started having some dreams that have taken place and some things that got, you know, lock in your face and you're going, whoa, what's going on? I was in Cambodia a few years ago and with a team. And my wife came on that team, and I woke up in the middle of the night. I thought someone was in the room. Some opened the door, looked at me, and I went, "What's going on here?" And I went, "Hey!" And I started, and then I realized it wasn't a person. Something was in the room, and I went, "Hey, get out!" In Jesus' name. And I was weird. I was convinced that someone had come in the room. And after I was convinced that it was actually a demon that had come in. The next day, I'm at breakfast, and I was telling, "Hey, I had someone come in the room." Then realized it wasn't someone in the room, and they said, "Oh, it was the next day." Yeah. So breakfast or lunch. And they said, "Oh, do you know that they reckon the floor you're on is haunted? Now there's a spirit running around up there. You know, in Cambodia, spirits everywhere running around trying to get in your face." And I went, "Well, there ain't one now because I told them to get out." And I talked to the staff. I said, "Have you got a problem there? You haven't got a problem anymore." I went that night and later on that morning and just prayed over the whole floor and said, "You ain't got no authority here anymore in Jesus." Sorry, you haven't got no authority in correct English in Jesus' name. And so we're there for about a week. No one had any problems and no one's talked about it since. So be sure in your, but he will come and you'll still, you need, what I'm going to teach you today will help you fight, all right? Help you fight. Who else was, somebody else was here, and then I want to just pray for the church. I don't actually send messages on my phone during worship. I'm actually writing stuff down, what I felt God wants me to speak. I want to speak to this wonderful couple here and just say, I see a season of fruitfulness coming in your lives. In fact, I see something in business, and that God's going to open doors of opportunity in business, or if you're not already in business, there's going to come some business opportunity and fruitfulness. And God says not to waste the fruitfulness, but how it will come is that as you are abiding in the vine, as you are connected to God, it, you know, the fruit, we don't actually make the fruit. It comes from the vine and flows through the branches. And you're going to go, wow, this is too easy. It's because you've abided in the vine and been trustworthy with what you have been given. With the one talent, he's given you the next lot of talents. And I just see some fruitfulness, favor, fruitfulness in family. And I don't want to go too far, though, just multiplication in family and stuff like that. But no, I'm talking about, no, I'm not saying that. I just saw the freaking out. But I see fruitfulness in the restoration of your family and stuff like that, okay? Then I'll pray for them. Got you. I won't even tell you how I describe you when I see you. So, you don't know someone, you've got to pick the features that tell you who they are. But I just, in the first service, I felt on a Friday night, God had given me something for the first service, and I prayed a certain way. And during the that service, actually, we were starting to pray for people. I really saw that there had been a lid, and that the lid, God wants to break the lid. And as we're just worshiping that way, and I described it in another way, but I actually saw, and I prayed for a breathlessness. As the church is running, and the church is moving forward, there's energy and there's things, and then a breathlessness comes in, and there's like, and can't go anymore. And it's like there's a lid or a ceiling. God wants to break, and I prayed over that. But I also felt what that meant in this service was that I saw people running, and they had the tire. You know, when you're wanting to train and work out, you want to really build your core, and that you put tires around your waist and you drag something. And I felt that there's something that there are people here, or there might be the whole congregation, need to understand that weight from the past cannot be attached to you if you want to go into the future. See, God makes new creation. He doesn't patch up the old. He creates something new. And so I know, Pastor Ken, I've known since he was 14. When they first came to from Malaysia, they came to our church. So I know these guys. They're personal friends. We love them. And I know the mandate on their lives, and I know this is part of it. And so I just want to just pray that if you sense something in your spirit, I'm still holding on, then God is saying, let it go, because it's not releasing you to get where you want to go, because you keep running out of breath. Because you keep holding on to that. Wow. And I don't know what that is. I'm not here to tell you what it is. I'm just here to, I just deliver the word. You do what you want with it. But I also want to just pray right now, Father, that over this ceiling, that Lord, that this church has the potential, has the mandate, has the core, has the seed. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus, that Lord, that the seed that has caused it to grow, I pray, Father, it will break the ceiling. I actually picture something like Jack and the Beanstalk, that seed that was planted, it suddenly grew. I pray, Father, today that from this moment on, that the greatness and the bigness and the largeness of God that you've placed into every single person will become their mandate, not the past, not their side, not their peers, whatever, but what? The seed in every person. And Father, we speak to those things behind us. We think to where we've been. Father, Lord, it's where we're going that you are now steering and leading and guiding us. In Jesus' name, amen. And I'll be really transparent. I don't know what's recorded on this, but God has actually spoken to me about that this myself. So I'm not talking to strangers here. I know a lot of people, and when people ask who I am, I sprout off names of some of the names. And God had spoken to me about, just shut up. That's what he says to me. Yeah. You know, you can say some stuff, but don't live there.
Yeah.
Don't live where you've been. Don't live in your past.
Right.
You know, I've given you relationships and I've given you a favor, but hey, that's not your future.
Yes.
That's part of you. Does it make sense?
Yeah.
I'm being a bit. I haven't even told my wife that, so you guys got it first. And so I have to face that when I get home. Okay. All right. And I got invited back for the second service. That means something went well in the first service. But I was stuck upstairs, so that I would have to walk past you to get out of here if they didn't want me. So trapped. Okay. The second service is dangerous because you know you've got that little bit more time, and that's not good sometimes. But I felt God needs to have his time. And can I just pray for you two? Do you mind doing that? Do you mind? Can you come stand here? I just want to just lay hand. You are together, you two. Okay, cool. I prayed for someone in the first service on the altar call, and I said, you with that? It was you. And I said to this guy, you? And he goes, so I went to grab their hands and put them together. And she's going, no, it's not me. And so I said, don't nod your head. So I've got to get it right. Father, just pray in the name of Jesus over this couple right now. I pray by the power of the Holy Spirit that you are doing something fresh and new inside them. You've lit them up for some reason. I pray, Father, for healing, healing, healing in their bodies, healing in their mind right now. Father, what the enemy's plans are to thwart that, Lord God, you are not interested in enemy's plans. You have a plan before them that you're wanting them to run with. There's a race before you. He has actually handed a baton from somebody to you guys, and he's saying, will you run with the baton? You've now got it. Don't look back at the one that handed it to you, but he's saying, now will you run the lane ahead of you, ready and getting prepared, and then there will come a time where you will hand it to the next person. But right now he's saying, run with what I put in your hand in Jesus' mighty name. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Amen. We don't always have to explain the prophetic. Yeah. Before I went into full-time ministry, I was sitting under a guy called John Jackson and someone else. And as they were prophesying, this is 20-something years ago, Linus Perry. And at the end, I sat somewhere down there. And it was a leaders meeting, and I was on the board. I was a life group leader. Dad had moved to the States, and Pastor David Storer was a pastor. And I was in this wrestle with God about going full-time ministry because I'd handed it off. And then at the beginning of that, he said, ready to go. And as I'm wrestling with that, this prophet's come in for the very first time doing a presbytery, which I'd never seen. Pastor David introduced it to us. I think most probably into this state. They've been done everywhere now since that. And at the end, this is the last prophecy. Linus gets up, and he's a real straight shooter. And he goes, last prophecy. Right, done. He goes, you're the proverbial frog that's getting heated up, and you're going to jump out of the pot. That's it. Amen. Is that wacko, Jacko? Yeah. But you know what? It's the most powerful word I've ever received in my life.
Wow.
It just was like, I know. I look like a frog, but I'm actually a frog. Yeah. I know what that means to me. God was setting me up, and a couple of months later, I was on staff, and we moved on for that. So, they know. All right, come on, let's stop waffling. Proverbs, you've been a part of a wonderful conference, and actually, the conference continues today. And but the scripture that has been on used at that conference is Psalm 80, verse 3. And it says, revive us, O God, let your beaming face shine upon us. With the sunrise, rays of glory, then nothing will be able to stop us.
Yeah.
I really liked that when I heard that. And nothing will be able to stop us.
Right.
And so the word that God gave me was something that a couple of weeks ago, and I want to share it with the how do we make nothing stop us?
Yeah.
Well, how do we, it's one thing to be in a fight, but how do we fight to win?
Yeah.
Many of us are in a fight and we're not winning, but we're not losing, but we're in a fight. And that's where we get weary. And I want to teach you something, and there's many things, but just one specific aspect where Jesus was confronted to be stopped by Satan before he even got started.
Yeah.
And in that message or in that event that took place, Jesus teaches us how we can also thwart and overcome the enemy.
Yeah, come on.
And I'm talking about when he was tempted. And if he tried it on Jesus, he's trying it not just on Jesus, he's trying it on his body.
Yeah.
And guess who his body is? The church,
yeah.
Which is you and I.
Yeah.
How did he respond? You know what? He didn't react. He responded.
Yeah, great.
If you never get anything else, live your life. Stop reacting. Responding.
Beautiful.
And so Matthew chapter 3, let's have a look at it. When he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, whom I am well pleased. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness after he had received the Spirit to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterwards he was hungry. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. And he answered, said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And the devil took him up into the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. So the devil quoted scripture. The devil quoted scripture.
Yeah, wow.
The devil quoted scripture. And Jesus said, it is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. And again, the devil took him up to an exceeding high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory. And he said to him, all these things I'll give you if you'll fall down and worship me. And Jesus said, away from you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and only him shall you serve. And then the devil left him. And behold, Jesus needed refreshing. He needed reviving. He needed a touch from the angels to restore. And we're going to finish that way today, because in this house today, God wants to restore and refresh. But he also wants to teach us and train us for the journey outside. And right now, over this atmosphere, Satan, you have no authority in this place. This is the house of God. We have spoken to you in the name of Jesus. We are seated in heavenly places above every principality and power. In Christ, we're seated in Christ Jesus with that authority in the name of Jesus. Say, you have no authority over every mind and over every thought and atmosphere of this place, the freedom of God to just pour out, even while we're preaching, that people will be filled with their spirit, people will be healed in this place, in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
We have an enemy, and he tried to stop Jesus, and he wants to stop us. And I think sometimes in the favor and the beauty of how we do church and in a Western world, we can just get by doing so much on by our skills and our technology and all the wonderful things we have, and we forget that we have an enemy. But about 18 months ago, we discovered the enemy had come to the Western world, not just to the Eastern. You know, I've traveled to camp. I love Asia. Absolutely adore living. I would live there. My wife would come with me. But I love it. I love the food. I love the people. I love just all culture and because I love the food and I love people and love the food. Did I say I love the food? But I tell you what, when you go to some of these nations, you know, they know there is a devil. They know how to resist. They know how to fight. They have taught me more than I've taught them. And so we are in a battle. We're in a spiritual war manifesting in a physical world, but defeated with spiritual attitude and weapons. And let me tell you. So when you know that, guess what? The enemy is not people. You don't have an enemy called a person. The enemy is not COVID. The enemy is not politicians, vaccines. It's not the World Health Organization, United Nations, the Rockefellers, the Five, the Illuminati, the Chinese, and any other person you want to name. It's Satan and his army of fallen angels that get behind whatever you want to name. Ephesians 6 says this, verse 12. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God. We'll talk about a bit of that, but not the whole lot. That you may be able to withstand in the evil day. Guess what? Matthew 24 says we are already in that day. We are in the last days. It's not the last day, but the last days have begun. Read Matthew 24 and it's there. Where do we get? Withstand the evil day, and having done all, stand. When you withstand, then you stand again. Paul says, I think it's 2 Corinthians 2, he says we actually need to be aware that the enemy, Satan, has actually schemes and plans and devices and ways that he wants to speak to us. And so I just want to quickly talk about him for a few minutes. He doesn't get the highlight of the sermon, but we need not be ignorant.
Yeah.
And so Satan is real. He's not dumb. He's not a snake or a horned beast with a forked tail coming out of his butt. He's not one of those images you've seen. He doesn't have the power of God, but he isn't weak and he isn't alone.
Yeah.
He has principalities and rulers of the spiritual realm with him, who are fallen angels from heaven that aligned with him in the rebellion. In Ezekiel 28, it says that he was described as beautiful, a fallen guardian angel, powerful and smart. He was convincing, he was persuasive, he was manipulative, and he was deceptive. He led a third of the angels. He was convincing.
Yeah.
Say, come and line up with me against God.
Yeah, wow.
And so he's not dumb.
Yeah.
He's the ultimate salesperson.
Yeah, so true.
I said this in our church, and my assistant pastor is a state sales manager. So and I'm going, it's not a thing against salespeople. In Eden, he convinced Eve to doubt her father. Think about that. It wasn't some little snake sitting there talking away at her. I mean, a snake starts talking to me, I'm going to be going, I don't want anything to do with that thing. I'd be wanting to get out of here in the name of Jesus. Yeah. Talking snakes, that's worse than a talking donkey. Yeah. So why would you sit there and have a conversation? Yeah. It's a very, 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 very aware that this ain't right. Something's not going on. But somebody or something was standing there that was extremely beguiling, extremely beautiful, extremely convincing, and manipulated and convinced her to actually turn her back on her father. Why we need to become the people of discernment. He tried to copy. Notice he in the garden, he tried to copy God. He used words to create the earth in Genesis. See, words that brought hope. See, God, because he copied God because he can't create. God is the creator. And what did God do in the Genesis 1? He created the earth because he thought about it and he spoke it into being. And then along comes a Satan and goes, man, I wish I could be like him. I want to be God, but I can't. So I'll do the best I can, and I'm going to get his creation to follow me. But the only way he can do it is to actually try and convince him by doubt and fear.
Yeah, that's right.
Man capitulated because he didn't discern, didn't stand up and resist, but handed over the rights to this earth. See, God had said, hey, Adam, you rule the earth. This is your baby. You're the steward of this place. You're the manager. Lead this earth, make it fruitful, multiply, and rule it with authority, with discernment and wisdom. Go for it. And then by obeying God, the first Adam said no. By obeying Satan, he said, hey, what I've been given, you now can have. I've changed my allegiance from here to here. And that's how sin came.
So
and so the first Adam, when confronted at the beginning of his mission to rule, he succumbed to words of fear, to whispers of doubt. Voices of deception. See, humanity has an amazing capacity to withstand physical adversity, whether it's sickness, trials, disaster, loss, disabilities. What we struggle with most is the words, the hisses, the voices that speak from around us, speak in our own heads, from our own past or insecurity. They're the things that we struggle with the most. Simple words that are causing generation, a whole generation to contemplate suicide. Words. We used to sing that song or rhyme, you know, that sticks and stones may break my bones, but words, names will never hurt me. Well, guess what? The sticks and stones aren't destroying, but the name are killing. That's the strategy of the enemy. And we have a way to answer that if we are alert and realize that's what he does. It's his major weapon. Here in this story, he's now confronting the last Adam, and he's doing the same thing again. I'm going to stop his mission before it starts. I'm going to take his authority before he gets going. I'm going to steal from him his inheritance before he gives it to you and I.
So good.
And so he confronts the last Adam, Jesus. And he speaks to him. You know what? He doesn't have three temptations. He has four. I'm not going to break them all down because I want to talk about his strategy, but I just quickly mention that his first strategy, his first temptation was to tempt him to doubt. What's he saying? If you are the Son of God, if you are, if you are, what did he say to Eve? Did God really say? As always, he's going to speak to you and go, are you really safe? Are you really handsome? Are you got a life? Do you really know anything? Do you know what they say? He always comes with this voice to actually get you to doubt who you are. And if he can get you to doubt who you are, your inheritance disappears. If he got Jesus to obey and to doubt who he was, then all the words that have been spoken over him, all the promises that were yet to come, all the fulfillment of the cross and the freedom would have gone because he would have changed allegiance just by agreeing with that doubt. I like to say, spiritual warfare 101, first step, don't agree with Satan.
Yeah.
You don't have to pray. You don't have to ask God. You just But you do will have to do one of these things, which is discern that it actually is Satan.
Yeah, that's so right.
It's because it's in our head, we go, ah, that's me. Where did that plant come from? From something that happened to you? Something that's attached to your emotions? It's a lie of the enemy that just lives in this world that is all about destroying. See, the Satan's strategy is to destroy humanity. So you don't have a relationship with Jesus and you don't become who God wanted you to become. So when you, I don't know who it was, someone said, I will not, it might have been Bill Johnson or someone said, I won't allow thoughts in my head that God doesn't say. I'm not going to entertain anything that God hasn't said about me. But you know what? I know I have great parties with those other voices. You know, your dancers, you're useless, you're wasted, look at you. You have a party with them, you entertain them. And we doubt. And so we get an instability in these voices because we forget who you are, the son and daughter of God. You see, the suicides are increasing. We have Christians fearful in the season, as fearful as non-believers because they are listening to other voices who are persuasive, convincing, and even use Christian terminology. Wake up and discern who it is. Satan continues to try and convince. And in those temptations, we don't have time to go through it. But we're in those temptations, we see that he was trying to take the authority off Jesus and own it for himself. And if he could do that, then we none of us would be in this place. And he's still doing it to his church today. If Satan could get Jesus to obey, then guess what? We wouldn't be here today. But do you know what Jesus did? Have a little think of it. First, he recognizes who is behind the voice. Christians, we need to become spiritually alert. We need to wake up. Start to recognize. He then resisted the voice. He doesn't run or fall in a heap even though he's physically weak. He stands and raises his shield of faith, his whole word of God to protect himself. He responds, and then what does he do? He doesn't just stand. He gets the word, each individual word, for each individual attack and each individual temptation, he gets a word and he fights back. He responds. So recognize, resist, respond. And how do you do that very quickly? How do we do it? Firstly, and there's plenty more than what I'm saying here, just trying to give you quick strategies this morning. Jesus recognized and discerned because he was filled and led by the Holy Spirit. What happened? He has an encounter with God in his baptism. The Holy Ghost comes upon him. Then he's led. He is led out into the desert to confront the enemy. And he is hearing and being led constantly. Once he's filled with the Holy Ghost, he has the ability to be led and to hear the voice of God. What happened when the church was created? In the book of Acts, they were told to stay. Before you start your mission, get filled with the Holy Ghost so you can be filled with power and be led to fight what the enemy was going to come against you. Before he started his mission, what happened to Jesus? Baptized in water and filled with the Holy Ghost. And so he led by the Holy Spirit. He recognizes Satan and he fights the voices. There's so many that we have around us, persuasive and convincing arguments, knowledge from seemingly well-informed, convincing people. We go, wow, they're smart. Just because they're smart doesn't mean they're saying the voice of God. Even who God personally was, convinced by well-informed, persuasive Satan. So they can be logical arguments, but who is asking you to surrender? And what are they asking you to surrender? That's how you discern. So you discern the Holy Ghost. I can tell you stories. I'm a pastor, and so I can tell you stories at leading church or prophesy or do whatever that, and then you go, that's just for you. No, from a young age, when I was 16, 17, I was playing rugby. And as I'm playing rugby, I'm loving that finally I found something that I can do good. Because all it takes, you just got to have a head the size of a meathead and then you can just keep running. And if you can run fast and you've got an aggressive temperament, you can be good. And so in the first year, I made state team and I had, I'm going to become the first West Australian to make the NRL. Yes, I'm going to do it. And the Holy Ghost says, this ain't for you. This is not what I called you to do. I'm hanging out because the club at that time, Canning Club, the bars and the kids and all hung out together. And the Holy Ghost is saying to me, out of peace. I had no peace. This isn't what you're called to do. Yeah. This is going to distract you. It's going to get you to bow to another one. Wow. Don't. And then I'm raised by a dad who we go on holidays and he would say, sorry, but kids, you know, it's Katanning. Barbara knows I think dad was instrumental in leading you guys to the Lord. Is that right? Yes, he led you guys to the Lord. So he was an evangelist, preaching to everybody, telling everybody about Jesus. So we'd go on holidays and we're in stinking heat in the 70s, and he would stop the old Valiant in Katanning on the way to Dumbleyung, and he'd say, I've got to stop here. And he'd go and hang outside the pub while we're watching and fighting with Mum. And out comes a man, and he leads him to Jesus.
Wow.
Leads him to Jesus.
Wow.
All my life I was taught to be led by the Holy Spirit. Live with a green light according to the gift and call upon my life, but be led by the Holy Spirit. As I get married, I start to be led by the Holy Spirit. As I'm getting, my teenagers are going through what they're going through, God gives us strategies. In fact, a parent led by the Holy Spirit is really, really disconcerting and scary to a teenager. Because you know stuff, not only because of what you did, but what God sees inside of them. And I have so many times thwarted the enemy. Then when my daughter moved to Perth and we weren't part of her life and we're in Victoria and she's over here and going doing her testimony. That's another way of describing it. And something happens and I don't know about it. And the Holy Ghost goes, you need to be in Perth with your girl. And so I come to Perth and take her to church. And we actually went to Centrepoint and Pastor Joel, who was also part of our team back when I was young, back in the day. And he goes, why didn't you tell me? I'll get you to preach. Because I'm not here as a preacher. I'm here as a dad.
Yeah.
I'm here. And a month later, she rings us and tells the whole reason why I got called to Perth to be within the most dramatic, hurtful time of her life.
Wow.
Holy Ghost. Wow. He leads you. Yeah. He shows you the enemy. And we don't fight. I didn't fight against her. I fought against the enemy. You know, as you're praying for your teenage kids, God gives you strategy. Fight against the enemy, not your kids. Pray in the Spirit over them. Pray in the Spirit over them. Get a word over your children. My wife, every year, I got off the trap, but it just feels God saying this. My wife, every year, comes up with a verse for our whole family. And we pray it over our kids, no matter where they are in Australia. And we believe it. We pray it. We believe it. We actually do what I'm going to show you in a few minutes. But we'll so get that. Let's move on quickly. All right, where do we get to? Okay, number two, he resisted. So he got, and I don't even get a chance to talk about praying and fasting. But that's how he was led to pray and fast.
Yeah.
He prayed and fast. You pray and fast, you get sharper at hearing.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, oh my goodness. And if you don't pray and fast, I'll give you an easy way to do it, okay? You're going to kill two birds with one stone. Isn't there a diet called 2-5 or something, 5-2? I'm not looking at anybody who might be able to know that knowledge, okay? But you fast for 2 days a week or something like that. Is that right? Someone tell me yes. Yes. Well, why don't you use double whammy? Fast in that time. When you're fasting in that time, pray. Take time out morning, night, and just spit. And watch what God over a season starts to make you sharp. You start to hear things. Scriptures come alive. Anyway, he resisted the second one and stood on his sure identity. His foundation became his identity. What was his identity? This is my son whom I love and am well pleased. Now, I'm glad you're asking me this question right now, which is, I know I'm loved and I know I'm his child, but how could he be pleased in me?
Yeah, great.
You know why he's pleased in you? Because he bought your sin and it's not on you. What's on you is a robe of righteousness. He bought your sin and brought you into his family, gave you an inheritance that he is now praying over you and seeing. He is pleased with you because you're following him. By faith, you are pleasing him. So he is very pleased that you are on this journey. Yes, you will stumble and fall, and there'll be moments where you'll go, oh man, why? But he's there to pick you up. And because you're clothed in the robe of righteousness, you are able to walk in, and what he sees is not your sin that you keep reminding yourself of. He doesn't see it. He bought it.
Yeah, come on.
And it's like if I went to your house, Joe, and I bought your car off you, and it goes to my house, and you keep looking for your car. How dumb could you be and still be breathing? I've got it.
Yeah.
You haven't got it. But that's what we... No, you're not dumb. Sorry. I don't want your car. Who's got a really nice car that I could... You can have it. I can have your car. And you won't be looking for it. But that, can you see what I'm saying? And we do that with a sin that he bought and said, it's mine. It's no longer yours. It's on the ground. It's gone. And we go, oh, I want to keep it. It's a journey of letting go. But it's who we are. Listen to this. See, God's put you, missing so much. But here, Ephesians 2:10 says this, we are God's masterpiece. He's created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. You know what that means? The creator... There's one translation that says, you are workmanship, which is the one I remember, but I like this one. See, the creator of the universe, he created the stars and planets and all the stuff that's out there that I have no idea of, but it's just phenomenal. You look at, you know, I used to hunt in Victoria. I went out with the head ranger one day, and he goes, we're trampling, and I'm useless hunter, by the way, and trampling through the mountains, and he goes, stop. Just have a look at that. And down under the tree is this orchid this big. And I'm like, oh, that's pretty, really, I didn't care. But he goes, that's, you know the thing about that? There's only one insect that can germinate that. And that insect needs that orchid to stay alive.
Wow.
He is a creationist, wow, Christian. He goes, that's why I believe in God.
Yeah.
And he repeats all these things. And I went, God made that, set that up. That's nothing compared to what he's doing in you right now. He's got you on his clay on the wheel, and he's going, I'm working something that's even far better than that orchid. I'm molding you. I'm shaping you. You're my masterpiece. Building you. Just stay on the wheel, by the way. And stop thinking because you do plasticine figures. He ain't building something like that. He's building a creation. That is beautiful. That's why he's pleased. He sees the end product. Really, what is it? Good. Ephesians 1 says this. Even before he made the world, God loved us, chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault. And he decided in advance to adopt you into his family. That means it's pretty hard to get out of your family. My kids have done some dumb things and I'm not being happy with them. But guess what? They're still my courts.
Yeah.
Poor things. You know, they're here. They're not getting out.
Yeah.
He brought us into it through Jesus. This is what he wanted to do, and he gave him great pleasure. I like that.
Yeah.
When he went, brilliant, you know, my sister-in-law is adopted, and they adopted a Chinese boy, but they went to China and spent money and chose. His name is Joseph now.
Beautiful.
And he lives in America. My brother's wealthy and done really well for himself. This poor little boy was burnt all the way down here and in a fire at childbirth, and his head was like that. Now he's come up 12, and I visited him a few years, and he's now Joseph McCourt.
Yeah.
He can't stop. He has my brother's inheritance, which I would like some of it, Mark. And, we are a great family. We love each other, and sometimes. Anyway. But you know when he got adopted, I'm just going off, I want to tell you something. They brought him home. I have permission to share this story. They brought him home from China. You know, we all got inspected to see if we were worthy. I don't know why. The Chinese authority wanted to know who we were and that. They got him home, spent a lot of money. With great pleasure, they brought Joseph. And when I went to see him, it's like, I've got a Chinese nephew. But his name is Joseph McCourt. Doesn't matter where he came from.
Yeah.
It's where he's going.
So true.
It's who he is now.
Really good.
But you know what we discovered, or they discovered? That they thought that he had a big house. He had his own bedroom with his own ensuite, right? And because of where he came from, that was frightening. So they put him back with his next brother up. Because of his adoption and where he came from as an orphan, he was still holding on to that in his journey ahead. And then they discovered tissues in his bed. And they're going, now he could eat like crazy. Just noodles after noodles, 2-minute noodles, nonstop. Loved him. Now, remember, he comes from the outback China. And so that's all he was eating. And I was there and go. And they said they discovered tissues in his bed. Because when he was an orphan, there was never enough. So he would eat tissues to fill his belly up. But now he's got a bottomless plate, an inheritance. But he's still eating tissues. He's not anymore, by the way. And so are we when we're adopted.
Wow.
It's not the sin. It's the stuff that we are carrying into the adoption. And God still says, I am well pleased. I love you. I love you. I don't mind. I will handle that. Oh, they got advice and they loved him and they loved him and they got surgery on him. They kept healing. And he's just a beautiful young man. When my dad turned 80, there's Joseph. Hey, Grandpa. And he's giving his message and telling how much he loves and how he's written a message to him.
Wow. Beautiful.
That's us. And we get healed and we no longer need tissues if we stay on the wheel and let the master work at us.
Wow. Wow.
You know, Satan loves to label you something, but God names you something.
Yes.
He names you. Start to use the name he gave you. Finally, quickly, Jesus responded with the word of God. So he resisted, he identified or discerned his enemy. He then stood and resisted the enemy and his identity. And then he responded with the word of God. He grabbed a verse. And it wasn't just any verse. It was the word of God. And we need the word in us for it to come out of us. And this word that God has given you for your circumstance, Hebrews says it's the word that is alive and powerful, sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow, exposes our innermost thought. It's the word of God, not just a normal word, but the word of God that cuts and separates. And I really feel as we're going to wrap this up now, which I've way gone over. I want my mate, where's John? Come on out, John. I want to show you something for a now moment. We have the shield, but we have the shield of faith. The shield of faith is the general Logos word of God. And we hold on to that in our battles. We put that there in front of us. And as we've got it in front of us, we know by faith we are saved. That it's not by works, but by the grace of God. It's the blood of Jesus that has washed our sins away. And we have this shield and we hold it there. And we stand there and we put the shield, the word of God. This is who I am. I'm a Christian. We even serve the church. We even do not neglect gathering together. And we are faithful. We are faithful people with our shield. It's great. And we stand. And we stand again. But there's one more piece of the armor of God. It's called the sword of the Spirit. And some of us right now are even in this place on our knees. And we've stood, we haven't backed off. But the enemy has thrown his darts. He's thrown his darts and we're tired. And God is saying, I love what you're doing, but you actually can actually win from this position. You actually don't just have to stand. You can actually win. I have given you something in the principality, to the principalities. I've equipped you with something because you are seated in heavenly places above all of those things in Christ Jesus. So I've given you something that's called the sword of the Spirit. And here we have it. And as we start to fight back, the sword of the Spirit is what Jesus used. He got a verse, he got a scripture for the temptation that was thrown at him. And God is wanting his people to stand up and not just know the word and stand with a shield. Because sometimes when you're standing with a shield, you might be safe. But guess what? The residue of that is flowing around your family. Stuff's bouncing off you. And he's saying, I want you to actually take back some ground. I actually want you not just to protect yourself, but I want you to fight the enemy, defeat the enemy in this situation for the sake of your children. And so he says, what word have I given you? What prophetic word? What word have you got when you're reading scripture, not just doing a devotion? Devotions are encouraging, but when you get your rhema word, guess what? That's powerful. That's powerful. It's powerful. That's my word. And so you speak it. And you start to claim it and you speak out loud over yourself, over that circumstance. You are wielding the sword. You're killing, you're stabbing, you're going after the enemy and say, in Jesus' name, every principality, hear the word of the Lord, just like Jesus did to Satan. Hear what I'm saying, seated above you, not alongside you, above you. And so I'm leaving you with, be revived. But here's how you fight to win. You don't fight in the flesh. We're not fighting each other. We get so distracted. That's what Satan wants us to do. Get distracted. Let's go and have a go. Oh, do you know what she said to me? Well, you know how you fight that? You go and forgive. And guess what? You've just beaten the enemy. We just... in his eye. We've done something. We fight back. We don't just stand. Thanks, John. You take that sword about it. When I get that sword, it's dangerous. What word has God given to you? What word has he given to you? You know what? I'm just going to, because of second, sir. I have a brother-in-law. His name is Brad Kappa. He's on our team as a worship leader. And, you know, I was talking about him doing band. He's just passionate. Do you know, when he was about 20, he did drug-induced stuff. And he was diagnosed with bipolar. And He was in Greylands, padded cell, for twice. And because of all the stuff that was going on with his bipolar and just crazy stuff that... And but you know what? He got born again in that period of time. And he went on a journey. So Brad has just turned 60, so this is back in his early 20s. And he went on a journey of reading his word, being led by the Spirit, seeing his doctor, and then seeing his pastor on a monthly basis to get counsel. 16 years later, his psych said, "You are healed." Wow. He has not taken lithium for 26, 24, 20, or 26 years. Wow. He has got, he's also a state salesman. He has two growing kids. They're both serving God. They both love God. He has his wife. She's my sister, my wife's sister. So maybe there's a problem there. No. Love her heaps. Love her heaps. Healed. I don't know anyone that's been healed. You know, it was staying on the master's will, letting the master shape him, staying connected. And he wrote a little book, just his little journal. It's just a bunch of scriptures and a 30-day journal that he wrote about his journey. And it's scriptures that he used and wielded against the enemy. See, the world put a label on him, but he discovered Jesus had a name for him. And so he was released. He's 24, 25 years totally walking free. Totally. He's great worshiper, great singer, great testimony. See, if you stay on the will, if you fight with the word of God, there is a solution. There is a healing. There is something waiting for you. As a band come back, I just want to finish with this last R. And I said it at the beginning, going to finish it. That the last R that, well, I don't put on the title, but even Jesus needed reviving. Even he needed refreshing. He needed restoration. And what did they come? They came to him and they ministered to him.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more info, please visit nationschurch.com.